Hello, everybody, and welcome to Weekly Manga Recap here on May 13th, 2015. I'm our Ruler of Time here alongside Rolo T. Chris, I think you already told me you're not doing too well, so.
Let's
skip all those formalities.
Yeah, let's just skip over that.
We're both miserable today, and we're passing those depressed feelings on to you! Yay!
Can you taste my tears, audience?
It's not good enough that we use this show to make ourselves feel better. All of you have to feel worse.
Yes. I need somebody to, like, at the end of this episode, just be like, oh, man, I feel so much worse than I did going into it. Thanks, guys. And I'm just like, good. Like, get a good night's sleep tonight.
It's a good thing that everyone who listens to this is forced to lock in for the entire duration of the show.
Yeah.
It would be a shame if they could just be like, wow, this is kind of bumming me out. I think I'll turn the episode off. No, you're trapped.
It's like a season finale of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Once you're into it, you're locked in. You can't get out of it. It's too engaging, but it's also really sad and depressing. Seriously, that season finale was just like, oh, nothing good came of it.
I haven't seen it.
Oh. It's so sad.
Nick. I heard that not too many people actually liked it, though.
I've seen the responses are generally pretty positive.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, there's a really big F you at the end, though. Like, it's just like, oh, hey, everything's going to be all right for these two. Oh! Like, oh, why'd you have to do that?
Oh, that's a Whedon thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, did you see, you saw Age of Ultron then, of course.
Yes, I saw that.
Although I don't think we've... No, we definitely haven't talked about that since...
No, we were off last week.
Yeah. Okay, we don't have a suggestion to talk about, so this is officially crossover with MCU Podcast.
I can't... First and foremost, I did like a two-hour-long podcast of Fragger explaining my thoughts on it, and we have four chapters of Fairy Tail this week. I don't think we need a banter topic. I will just say that I liked Avengers Age of Ultron a lot, and I think that anyone who disliked it maybe came in with a bit too high of expectations. Mine were lowered hearing people weren't happy, so I came out pleasantly surprised.
I will not say that I disliked it. However, I will say that it definitely had problems. It was not as good as the first, and it felt very heavy at times. And that's all. So yeah.
Also, again, I will note my biggest flaw with the movie that is honestly almost unbelievable, really impossible to fathom. Uh-huh. They have Hydra in the movie, and not a single person says "Hail Hydra." It is ridiculous. How do you have them there and nobody says it?
It's like a passing of like, ah, Hail Hydra, while shooting machine guns at Captain America or something.
Just one dude who's just like, take that, Hawkeye, Hail Hydra, or something. Like, just one, like, wacky German character just throws it out there. They needed to.
Yeah, I completely forgot about that whole setup, that, like, opening scene. There's, like, people conversing and none of them do it. Yeah, you're right.
I want one guy, like Baron Strucker, to just be like, I still go out there and surrender, Hail Hydra.
Okay, let's get into this though.
Let's do it.
We are holding off on Tuaru Gagaku no Railgun until next week, at least. So we're gonna jump right into the recap portion of Weekly Manga Recap, and it's gonna be a bit of a doozy. Partially because we've got four chapters of Fairy Tail to cover. Partially because things are changing. Manga are going out. New manga are coming in. So let's do this.
Let's bring it.
And since it doesn't happen until the end, World Trigger, none this week.
Yes, and also World Trigger likely going to be taking more breaks going forward as Ashihara's health seems to not be very stable at this moment. So all the best wishes to Ashihara, I'd say.
Maybe they'll be like, yeah, you're doing good now, so we can treat you like you matter, so it's cool, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Black Clover, page 12, reunion. So we are.
I don't think it'll ever stop fucking with my mind. The page.
I know. It's
like,
weird.
Every time I hear it, I'm just like, no, Nick, we're on page 110. But why do we mention pages before we don't normally mention what page we're on in Jump?
So we're introduced to multiple member of the Golden Dawn, Yuno's guild or whatever the fuck they're called. They're not guilds. Shut up. Magic Knights Division. They're guilds. Whatever. including the captain. Captain Vengeance.
It's a pretty sweet name.
Jeez. Who looks like Zex Marquise from Gundam, but like with one half the mask kind of blacky a little bit, and also weird painted on eye rims. What? That is a weird helmet. It still looks odd. Whatever. It's a distinct look.
It's like he dropped the helmet at one point. He's like, shit, I broke off a piece. I'll just grab this one from another helmet I don't use.
Maybe if I paint these markings on it, but inverted in black and white, no one will know the difference.
Hey, Vengeance, did you break your mask? Shut up.
It's always been this way. Shut up.
This is stylish and cool. If you say so.
He's got a guy talking with him in their headquarters who fortunately introduced himself as I, Alec Dora Sandler.
I always love it when a character's first introduced and, like, they don't have an easy way to introduce his name, so he just has to, like, spontaneously say it to the audience, like, you know, sir, I would die for you. I, Alec Dora Sandler. Okay. Thanks. I knew who you were.
It's like Mard Gear.
Oh, Mard Gear was great, though.
Some Mard Gear's, like, shifting first-person treatment, yeah. So, basically, Sandler is all, hey, why'd you send that douchebag? And Sandler says, don't question me. Come on, you trust me, like, yes, of course I trust you. Well, I trust him, so you should trust him. And he's gonna get stronger. So, yeah. This is a terrible leader. Why should we trust him? Because I said so.
Oh. Do it. Do it.
Anyway, the two people who are tailing along with Yuno are a senior member named Klaus Lunetz, who is basically the biggest douchebag on the planet. He is such an asshole.
I think he has, I don't know if it's painted onto his face or if the rim of his glasses has like an extra diamond attachment over the bridge.
That is a keen observation. Which one is it? Is it his face or the glasses?
But either way, very douchey.
If it's his glasses, which it probably is, then it's even stupider than if it were on his face.
I think it is the glasses.
Yeah, because the the rims, like that, where they attach to the arms, it looks like they got a similar thing there.
Yeah. And
so he's like, oh, you are so lowly. Oh, stay out of our way. And then the girl who's with them, Mimosa Vermilion, she's a fucking pastry. Jeez. He's like, oh, hi, Noelle. I haven't seen you since the royal family dinner party last year. Royal family dinner party.
And I guess they have those where all the royal families just show up and hang out.
Oh, but they're also related. Is there just one royal family?
Oh, well, there you go then. Yeah, maybe that's it. Also, I need you to answer a question for me, Nick. Now, we had joked last episode that royals have very loose terms of clothing. Now, it is noted that Mimosa's wearing shorts.
Yes.
However, in her introduction image where you see the full body, is that her breast sticking out? Or is that just fluffy shirt?
Hang on. Let me flip a few pages.
Because, sweet Jesus, that is enormous.
Hang on. There's no other good shot of her in the chapter. Fuck. I can't answer your question now.
I'm so confused and terrified.
If I look back at the previous one, maybe I'll be able to figure it out, but I'm too...
Yeah, there's no time for that. We'll just assume she has giant knockers.
Like one giant boob. Which, you know, happens.
Yeah, she's just like, that's my magic power. I have one enormous tit and one regular-sized one. They're like, how is that useful?
That's a real thing, though.
She's like, oh, I do a lot of fetish videos. You're like, oh, that's... still don't understand how this helps you with magic. She's like, oh, and I have this laser gun. Like, oh, that's... Okay, now I get it.
Maybe it's just the way that her cape fits on her.
It might be. I think maybe it's the way her cloak's kind of covering up, so it, you know,
yeah,
only looks
one
like one's
equally large, but it's just covered up because...
I'm just... It is enormous, and, like, the first time I saw it, I was like, good lord, woman, what is that?
You do not have the build to support those, but then again, you are a manga character.
Yeah, so, I mean, to be fair, yeah.
Anyway, she's like, how are you doing, Noelle? Are you doing okay in the Black Bulls? You know, I remember when you couldn't control your magic at all. How are you doing, And I was like, dumb bitch and her stupid comments, not realizing when she's insulting me and so on and so forth. She's like, oh, we even got a star from the Wizard King, Mimosa is. And then Asta's like, yeah, well, we got one too. And fucking Glasses Boy is just like, no, you didn't. And so he's like, you didn't get one. He's like, yes, we did. Well, the fact that you got this mission, how impudent of you to get this. Well, the Wizard King actually asked for us specifically to be here. No, he didn't. No, he did. I was like, well, fuck you guys. And where's your teammate, by the way? And freaking Lightning Boy, whose name I already forgot.
It's Nick, how can you not remember? Hold on. Loading. Luck!
Luck! Luck is zipping around still, and Klaus is still going. I was like, oh, the Black Bulls, oh, such a filthy disgrace. And then he just gets in a shouting match with Asta, which, you know, goes to show just how high, you know, superior he is that he gets in a shouting match. Again, he was just saying, oh, we are so much better than you, whatever. Then he's like, fine, we'll show you how much better we are than you. So Mimosa demonstrates her magic, which is apparently plant-related, and she somehow uses this to make a map of the dungeon so that they can navigate their way through.
It's a flower map, Nick. Those things totally exist.
Yeah, they just grow there, you know.
Yeah, she just summons it, and a flower, of course, you know, spawns a map of the mystical, undiscovered dungeon they're in.
Then, you know, forms this wind boat beneath them that carries them off, and we're, you know, it's like, oh, right, Asta and Yuno are rivals, so they're staring at each other.
Oh, Jesus Christ, I really need to, like, put a bet with somebody, like, every time a chapter with Yuno is in it and he does nothing but smile at Asta and, like, be like, we're such great friends.
Speak of him highly when others are like, oh, that stupid kid doesn't do anything.
I would be rich. I could quit my job dancing as a sub outside of Quiznos. And they're just like, look, we appreciate your efforts. We don't actually serve meatball subs here, so you have to change your costume. And I'm like, the tuna fish costume smells.
That means that the people have come in asking for meatball subs because of you.
I'm like, well, good. Get meatballs. They're like, no, you don't under... It's not, like, a choice. There's no meatball truck.
So, Asta's like, we're gonna beat those guys and capturing this dungeon. And Noah's like, we don't have any tracking spells, though. Yeah, well, we'll just look everywhere really carefully while fighting through all of the traps in this place. Because that's how Asta thinks. Fortunately, their crow, Nero, just points to this fucking tunnel. And they're like, oh, right, let's go that way. Durr.
I hope the bird's just fucking them over. Like, the bird just heard on the other side. It's nothing but like, huh. He's like, that sounds like a poop pit. Go that way, Asta!
Well, freaking Golden Dawn is traveling through the dungeon. Klaus is like, oh, they don't have any magic. And, you know, it's like, don't underestimate him. And Klaus is probably thinking to himself, you forsaken realm peasant, you may have a four-leaf clover, but don't think I've accepted you yet. He's such a douchebag. He hates everyone.
He is kind of an asshole, but to be fair, he is a noble, so I guess he has the right to do that, right?
No, he doesn't. He's just
if you're absurdly wealthy, you could just be hateful and mean to everybody. Isn't that how it works?
It's like, I know that, you know, I kind of pointed out when Noelle was introduced, like, you know, you'd think that this whole story arc, this whole character arc with her acting all, you know, high and mighty, but it just being a front would take a while to be broken through. But no, it was just in her introductory chapters. Like, you know, I definitely prefer that as opposed to getting, like, five chapters in a row for just being a complete bitch. And it was like, oh, but
Nick, they didn't
inadequacies.
They didn't build up her tsundere.
It's like, this is so much better. Just have her be like a regular person, as opposed to, because every single person who's had this, it's the same thing, and they're just annoying, and not in the good way of like, oh, I hope they get their comeuppance. It's like, no, I don't want to see any of this. It's stupid. There's some narration. Because the messenger goes to see the Wizard King. It's like, oh, the Magic Knights are there exploring the dungeon. And then there is also a Diamond Kingdom, and there are invading mage troops from there that are in here. Which is actually very surprising. It's like, oh, there's another kingdom. Okay. And the enemy's army is led by Lotus of the Abyss. Oh, they are very powerful, and they use amazing magic. And the Wizard King's like, yeah, but our kids are tough, too. Cut to Luck having beaten everyone in the group that's showed up, except for Lotus himself.
Somehow, he's made a hand out of lightning.
Yeah.
And it's like force gripping a guy's head. And I'm like, that's pretty awesome magic. You managed to solidify lightning into apparently a solid mass.
Well, he used it to make boots, too, so...
Yeah, I guess. But that, I felt like I was like, I don't know, like, lightning. I guess there are still lightning bolts shooting off, but there we go. Maybe Luck ain't such a wacky dude after all. Maybe he's just awesome, Nick. He can make lightning claws and break people's faces.
So yeah, Lotus and Luck seemingly facing off for the start of the next chapter. Yeah.
Wait, who's Lotus?
That's the goatee guy.
Have we met him before?
No, he's introduced on the page. Okay.
Very good, then. I say his name's Lotus.
It's on the page right before Luck shows up.
Oh, Lotus of the Abyss. That's right. Okay. Now that's all adding up, Nick.
Yeah. Alright. So that chapter happened. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Bleach! Bleach, 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 Bleach. Chapter 625, Living Jaguar. So, Grimmjow's back. As established by the last chapter, to which Ichigo reacts by saying, "You're Grimmjow."
He's still Grimmjow, being like, "Yeah, I'm still Grimmjow."
So Grimmjow steps out of the Garganta and he's like, "Check out my new digs! I got new clothes. Apparently, I have incredibly talented tailors in the desert."
I'm sure one of the Chimera sisters had to, or Chimera people had to be some kind of seamstress or something. They have nothing else to do.
What's going on in Hueco Mundo?
I don't know. Isn't Halibel still, like, chained up chapter, in a dungeon somewhere?
Yeah. A lot of characters show back up in this chapter. And it's now it's just, like, making certain other things even more questionable. Like, where is Unohana? I know she's dead and never coming back, but seriously, where is she?
When is she coming? Let's be honest. When's she coming back?
And yeah.
I really hope that Bleach ends without ever addressing Halibel so that my mind narrative can create the situation where she's in the cell and she's just like that Simpsons episode, like, Mr. Papawatz, I'd like to go home now.
Hello. So Grimmjow's like, "Hey, you look like you healed up all nicely from our fight. How you doing?" "Okay, let's find out." He starts to draw and he draws his sword. And he says, "I'm not gonna die before I kill you. I've been waiting, so let's settle our..." And then Nell shows up, and she glomps Ichigo. And it's like, "Oh, look! Urahara made me a bracelet that lets me switch between child and adult whenever I want, so I could finally help you now." That's actually quite useful, although it's a weird thing for her to open up with.
It's a weird thing to open up with, and also it's like, well, I'm glad that you had that one... like, weakness tier condition that they just solved with a bracelet. Like, I bet the Avengers wish they had that. Like, oh, hey, we just gave the Hulk a wristwatch, and now he can turn into the Hulk and back into Bruce Banner whenever he wants. This is great.
Yeah. Also, we just gave Hawkeye this magic bow that just, like, gives him arrows whenever.
Yeah.
And everyone's out of ammunition.
He just throws things into the quiver, and it shoots out more arrows for him. Yeah. So, you know, like, don't put your hand in it.
He'll turn into an arrow.
Also, apparently Hawkeye is the fucking authoritative commander who gets to become Avengers and not. You just step through a certain door and he gets to decide if you're an Avenger. Which I feel is unfair.
Nick Fury is just like, "What the fuck are you doing? Who said this?"
Oh no! These kids are not Avengers! I only had 6 name tags made! Those are expensive! God damn it, Hawkeye! You better die! So I can just hand one of those fucking badges over to them. Very good.
So, Orihime is visibly upset by Nellio having large tits, but being able to easily interact with Ichigo. And so, Chad says, "Hey, anyway, you might be thinking, why would he make something unnecessarily like that? But don't, you know, Urahara's just doing his best, you know, it's for practical purposes." And Orihime's like, "Oh, come on, I'd never think that! That stupid bitch, I'm gonna fucking kill her, he's my man." Hurry, May. You're getting even more useless with each chapter, aren't you? So Grimjaw's upset that Nell's getting in the way, and then Nell's like, I am now super serious, even though I was not literally one page ago. You're the sixth Espada, and I'm number three, so I'm not taking orders from you. And Grimjaw rightfully points out, Aiza's not here anymore. Those numbers mean nothing.
Although, didn't the numbers exist prior to Aizen?
No.
Oh.
No.
Fair enough, though.
So, and also, you know, Nell was dropped out of being the number three Espada, like, well before all this. Grimjaw's right, basically.
Grimjaw has a point. It's just like, yeah, let's not argue this numbers bullshit.
I mean, his approach of, let's just settle things by fighting and see who's stronger, then is not, you know, very logical, but yeah. Anyway. But they're interrupted again, because there are more characters that have to be brought back. It's Maruka and Yukio. Thanks for saying his name, Ichigo. Thanks. The kid and the selfish girl from the fucking Fullbringer. That was what they were called.
Nick, I'm confused. How can Ayari be here when she's supposed to be inside getting the portal to the Soul Palace opened? But she's clearly right there in the ship.
What?
I don't get it.
What are you confused about?
Hiyori, yes. Right. She's supposed to be in there, but she's clearly on this page here.
No, Chris. Hiyori has blonde pigtails.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that, beyond their powers, the only thing differentiating those two characters? They're both the tsundere, short, female antagonist slash love interest of Ichigo in that arc. And then after that arc was done, they...
I don't think Hiyori was ever meant to be anything.
Maybe not a love interest, but kind of like a... No. She was supposed to have a more intimate relationship with Ichigo, I thought, than most of the other wizards.
They were both also his trainers, too.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Ichigo says, Yorichi says, okay, what part do you want to explain, Ichigo? And he's like, everything! Which, this is like the most reasonable single page of this entire arc. Just Ichigo going, just tell me what happened! All of it! And you're just like, I don't feel like it. Well, maybe I'll just do like one little bit at a time. No! Tell me! What's going on? Yes. That is the correct freaking reaction to have. Although, it does draw attention to the fact that Kubo has kind of been doing the same thing to us. So, fuck you too, Kubo. Ugh. So... they make a meta joke about the panel changing into a diagram, and they give this really weird explanation about how Garganta works and stuff. Basically, it boils down to, we found Yukio and Ruruka because their powers let us travel between the spirit world and the Soul Palace and Hueco Mundo and the real world very easily. Done. And they're like, okay.
Like, you guys brought back the two lamest Fullbringers, though.
Yeah, where's...
Tsukishima, Genji, or Clock Dude?
No, where's Jackie? And,
oh yeah, Jackie! Holy shit!
My boots get muddier and I get stronger. That's so weird. Shishigawara! Shishigawara! Where is he?
Is that Clock Guy?
No, he's a Lucky Knuckle guy.
Oh my god! Holy shit, I feel like I need to give you a medal for remembering that.
A guy who would punch stuff and it would really hurt unless he tried to punch you a bunch of times. Then it would stop hurting. Then, after that, we cut to the elite guard of Juhabak and they're just hanging around, sitting in comfy-looking sofas and stuff, and... fucking, what's his name? Hair slick guy who determines ratios of death and stuff.
Asuka Naklavar?
Yes, him. He is like, so what are we supposed to do? And Not Thor is like, hey, You, Ishida, what's wrong? Why are you looking so worried? You know, Jiobak will take over and be stronger than ever. And Ishida's like, yes, you're correct.
Chapter end. Credits.
I mean, we get like one more page of Jiobak seemingly finishing, like completely absorbing the Soul King, but that's it.
It was a very strange ending. It was like Kubo got to like the end when he finished.
It's Bleach pacing.
Like he finished like all the explanation for Ichigo and the Fullbringer showing up, and he's like, "Shit, I've got two more pages. Well, I could make those full page spreads, but fucking, I'll just be like the Soul King or fucking Jiobak's doing something, and then I'll have Thor talk for a little bit."
Like the original two page spread, there was Ichigo's face being crammed into Nell's boobs or something.
Oh man, I almost...
And the other was like, no.
The other one was fucking, what's the fucking Fullbringer showing up, Yukio? It's like a full page spread of Yukio, like, what up? What's like, I don't know who you are.
Just like in a tiny little bit in the corner. Who's that again? hey, Bleach.
It was such a nothing chapter this week. It was like, here's some explanation for things. And for somebody like me, who openly is ignorant of the mechanics of Bleach's world because I've stopped trying to comprehend them, I was just like, sure, they travel between whatever. I don't care.
That was exactly my reaction, too. I don't... Okay. Fine.
You could say they ride a fucking flying poopus, and I would be okay with it. Or what was it? Or flying buttness?
This makes me wonder.
Nimbut.
Right, that, the fart, monkey fart poop thing.
Yeah.
Which makes me wonder. Urahara found these two and had them set up this transportation service. What are they still doing trying to set up the portal down in Soul Society?
Maybe this one explodes? I don't know, Nick. It's it's Urahara. His plans never make sense.
They didn't build in enough seats for him to transport that many people.
Yeah, he's like, shit, there's only enough room for... I really didn't think Kenpachi would come back. So, hold on, I got another plan. I'm gonna bring a whole other set of characters in, and they'll, with all of them together, we'll have one empty seat in that transport to bring Kenpachi, and there we go. This is very convenient and works for everybody. They're like, why didn't you just leave behind one of the fucking 13 division sub-commanders? He's like, no, we need both of them. Or this shit won't work.
We need Kyone and...
Oh, come on, Nick. Come on, Nick.
I want to say Sentaro. I think that's it.
I'm hoping you're right, because...
Hang on a second. Bleach, Sentaro. Sentaro Kyone, yes!
God damn, Nick. Your pulls tonight are incredible.
This isn't even my final form.
I'm just gonna start like naming obscure Bleach characters for you to pull names from.
Nice. But before we do that, we gotta do a lightning round, Chris. We gotta get through this fucking fairy tale.
Alright. So I'm very upset at past Christopher, because present Christopher has to read.
I told you this would happen! Rather, I told past Christopher.
Yes. We all acknowledge that past Christopher was an ignorant asshole who made a lot of mistakes. So this week, we have four chapters of Fairy Tail to get through. Starting with chapter 431, My Sword. The cover page is a bunch of people in color, nothing interesting to talk about on that. So this chapter is essentially, hey, everybody show off your cool new special abilities. But, you know, because Gray and Natsu just kind of do fire and ice respectively, it doesn't really have anything cool to do with them. They just get some cool action set pieces. But we do get to see Lucy using her Taros form. And within it, she apparently has super strength as well. She notes, I have a lot of power. And she says that she's basically like whipping an entire army of guys, you know, smashing the earth. And just generally actually getting to look cool.
Gets to look cool. I never thought it would happen.
It was astonishing. Someone even comes in to try to attack her, and she doesn't poop herself, or her feet don't get covered in oil, or anything sexual. She just gets, you know, some cool teamwork with Gray. It was very impressive.
Some of the established characters in Avatar actually start to fight, and they're like, oh, let's go and fight them.
Yeah, they're like, whoa, let's go take these guys on, and we... We see specifically, oh god, I'm trying to remember his name. It's the knight guy with the doofy hair. Anyway, he has the Shade Sword, and it's a sword that apparently whenever it cuts anything, it, you know, destroys it. It all returns to dust. So he goes up against Urza, and she reveals some new armor form where she has, like, floating swords around her. And everyone's like, are those wings? They're like, no, those are swords! And I'm like, I'm pretty sure she's had an armor, very, you know, relatively similar to this before, but whatever. New design. Jerome, that's his name. Jerome attacks her with the Shade Sword, destroys her swords, and he's like, ha, you cannot beat me! Everything that touches my sword will rot away! And Urza's like, bitch, I already killed you. And fucking, she's like, yeah, my sword cuts so swiftly and smoothly, it's undetectable. And there's a giant sound effect of him going, and he loses. So, that's that chapter.
Urza's broken chapter file.
Yes. To our next chapter, 432, Briar in Love. Oop, why did this one jump all the way to the end? Bad Crunchyroll. Briar in Love, and the cover page is the fucking cowboy people nobody gives a fuck about. So, Gray is fighting against Briar, and Lucy. Yeah. No, her name's Briar.
Yeah. I'm explaining
for you. Oh, okay. I was like, no, Nick, don't take this from me. I remembered her name. And we cut away to Lucy, and all of a sudden, Taurus is like, Lucy, my stomach hurts. And she's like, oh, so does mine. And we see one of the members of Avatar, the girl from before, she doesn't even, like, she just walks up and she's like, my magic is black virus, and I have the power to release a virus that eats away at you from the inside. And I'm like, do you have a range, or could you have done this from France and, like, fucking sent her a postcard about how she's gonna whoop her? But, Nick, it couldn't be fairy tale without weirdness and fetish to it. So, this character specifically notes, by the way, it's targeting your large intestine. Yes, it'll be very embarrassing unless you find a toilet right away. Though she immediately notes, my virus power could kill you easily too, you know, if it just went up into your brain. But instead, I want you to shit yourself. Because
all of the people of Avatar just have really weird fetishes.
It's but so, like,
in fairness, nobody with star-shaped pupils could possibly be normal.
That is true.
I mean, just look at Asta, you know.
Yeah, what a freak. What a loser. So, Lucy decides she's just going to tank through pooping herself. She's like Steve Austin. She's like, I may have shit myself, but I'm going to finish this match. But thankfully, she doesn't need to have shit dribbling down her leg to finish this match, because Wendy shows up and uses her wind magic to basically nullify it. And then Lucy finishes, I forget this fucking character's name, but she's beaten anyway with a Lucy punch and just jabs her.
She's like, my magic doesn't work, so I'm just gonna sneak up on you while making mean faces.
Yeah, like, clearly this woman had one magic, and after that was done, she's like, well, shit, I've got nothing else. I'm apparently one of the members of the strongest guild, like, dark guild of this time, but God forbid you have a healer on your team, I'm fucked.
It's like it's like those people when, you know, after they've shot Superman a bunch of times, and they're like, shit, I'm out of bullets, so they throw the gun at
him. Yeah, and everyone critiques the fact that Lucy's special move was Lucy Punch. They then ask, why is Wendy here? And she's like, well... And then we cut away to Gray fighting Briar, and Briar shows off her splitting magic. She splits into four. Briar in Fury, Briar in Sorrow, Briar in Laughter, and Briar in Love. And they all react exactly as that, you know, emotion would. But, of course, the one that's Briar in Love is like, I love you! So Luvia shows up out of nowhere to beat her up, because she's like, I can't have another rival to Gray's love. And, you know, maybe he likes Mohawk chicks, so can't take that risk. So she basically just one man crushes Briar and defeats them, along with a couple other people who just happen to be in the area.
Well, Gray does most of that, actually.
Oh, is that? Oh, that's right. It's Gray. I kept thinking she had ice.
Takes care of loving Briar.
Oh, that's right. Gray defeats most of them. I don't know why I thought she had ice magic. That's Gray's one thing. Also, I guess they note that Briar was Avatar's strongest black wizard. So, I guess that Abel and the other guys just aren't going to get a cool fight, because it's just like, well, these guys aren't going to be a fucking match for them. But, anyway, Gray and Luvia take off their clothes, or as much as decent, and they prepare to fight. And Wendy goes and uses some, you know, wind dragon for them.
I don't think it's Wendy. Who cares?
And finally, we cut away.
It's a good thing that Wendy and Juvia were able to catch up so damn quickly.
Yeah, well, come on, Nick.
Fairy tale, whatever.
I don't think actual distance matters in that world. It's one of those things you're just like, I need to get there. And you just, it's like D&D travel. You're just like, you're there. I don't have time. I'm not going to fucking ration this. So I don't know. We cut away to Alexama, and he's like, our flank's been destroyed. Oh, wait, no, his men are saying that. They're like, our flank's been destroyed. This is too powerful. We have to consider a defeat. And before he can even do that, I was kind of hoping for a Baron von Struckemann, and he's like, we shall never surrender! But I'm going to go surrender to him. Yeah, Hydra! That's who shows up and says, we're fairy tale wizards. And then we move on to our next chapter, because holy shit. Thank God fucking Hero released four of these at once. Well, to be fair, two of them at once. Then two at once again. And we just missed the week, so. Chapter 433... I'm not going to try to pronounce that, Subi Obama. With the cover being Luvia in full color with her legs spread, but it's just, like, the camera's just up enough that you wouldn't see anything indecent, but it would clearly be exposed
to a little bit more. But it's not!
Yeah. And I don't know why she's, like, on the cover, like, some like it hot. And I was like, I guess. Her chapter was last week. She didn't do anything this week.
What does Juvia have to do that has anything to do with heat?
Yeah, I was like, she's rain powers and water.
That's not even a clever pun. You're just being dirty.
You're just being filthy, Hero. So, this chapter starts off with Natsu being like, you're the boss. And they have a quick little fight here. He basically has, like, some kind of physical matter summoning ability. Basically, great shields, barriers, but he can even shoot through his own. But it doesn't matter because Natsu just breaks through all of them, smashes him in the face. And that's when this guy says, aha, your defeat is now at hand. I burned my own face for the sake of this day. Which may explain, Nick, why he has a mustache on his mask.
I used to have a mustache.
And I was so upset that I destroyed it by burning myself that I carved it onto the mask I wear.
Yes, I used to look like this, see?
Yes, if you take away the metal, this was my very handsome face. He notes that it was the price he paid, but he did it because you are now under contract, Battle God. Earn the price that has been paid. Wield your power at my behest. I summon Ikusa Tsunagi?
You got it.
Yeah! Good job. Which says, Link to War, it looks like, is the translation of that. I can't tell exactly. The text on that's really small. It looks like Link to War. Yeah, Link to War. Okay. There we go. No, fairy tale. Stop it.
It's a very big demonic warrior thing.
Yeah, it's a big, yeah. But apparently, he is one of, what do they say? There's a specific title for these things. One of the 18 battle gods, I think they call him. Yeah, later on, Urza calls him one of the 18 battle gods of Yakuma, which, to my knowledge, is not a thing that's ever been referenced before. So by mentioning it now, I'm like, oh, is this supposed to be a big deal? Spoilers, it's not. But they summon him. It's, yeah, essentially this big, giant, demon warrior-looking dude who is going to crush everybody. And this is apparently Operation Purify. You know, he's offering up the souls of the faithful. Not only the townspeople, the townspeople are just a bonus. He's offering up the souls of everybody in his guild, essentially. They're going to make the ultimate offering, and it'll draw Zerofear to guide us. And he's laughing about it the whole time, and his granddaughter, the virus girl, is even like, Grandfather, you wouldn't kill us, would you?
Yes, I would. Grimp.
Like, aw, dick move. But of course, Natsu cannot tolerate that, because those people should be his friends. So he's going to make them pay for that, too. Leading us to our final fairy tale chapter this week. Fairy tale chapter 434. Hauken? Hoken? I don't know how to pronounce that. And a cover page is a funny girl. Who cares? So.
It's Lackey. Lackey.
Lackey?
Some sort of unimportant fairy tale side character girl.
Of course. So, Our big demon dude is about to attack with his enormous sword, and he swings, and it cleaves the earth in half. You know, there's a big, giant crevice now. And even Urza seems to be slightly in awe of that, except she's not in awe. She's, in fact, stunned that some brave man is climbing up the sword of that monster. And, of course, that's Netsu, which Urza responds with a very inappropriate look of lust and wondering. It's
yeah,
a strange...
That's...
It's a very strange, like, it's not like a...
She's got a blush on her cheek is what does it.
Yeah, the blush and, like, the just slight opening of the eyes, like, it's, you know, very, like, daydreamy, romantic kind of face. Meanwhile, Natsu's essentially just Shadow of Colossus in his way up this guy, you know, running up him. And while this is happening, he's, of course, waxing philosophic about friendship. There's an entire page to it that I'm just going to explain thusly as friendship and you're an asshole. And then he uses the power of Ignil, dragon fire, and explodes the demon monster in one blow. The demon literally just explodes into pieces. And Urza notes he really has become so much stronger. And that's the end of four chapters of Fairy Tail.
Yay!
They killed the big monster thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
one of the 18 battle gods of Yakuma, Nick. That's huge, I assume.
Yeah, that means a lot. We made Natsu Dragony look strong.
Yes.
So accomplished.
That's not an easy feat. You suffered so many key losses throughout time.
Yeah, like that one time...
He didn't beat another member of Fairy Tail in a fight. And that was it.
You know, for a while, you know, there were fears that Natsu would not be the breakout member of Fairy Tail, but not. If no one knows what we're talking about, good.
let me say this about it. I would like this arc, or this little bit we got, as a sense of saying, hey, cool, we are showing these characters after their time skip, and we want to show that all of them are super strong, and here's a group that we're just going to have them stomp. We're just going to have them beat, because we want to show how cool these members are. And I totally can get that. I think it would maybe be unnecessary to have had, like, the six chapters prior to this that set up these characters, though they're anything, but fine, whatever. It's weird that they have to have Urza, like, sit there and commentate on the fact that Natsu's gotten stronger. Like, I could grasp that Natsu's stronger.
I can see that.
And you're really just telling me Natsu's stronger because it's not as though this battle god of Yakuma was a challenge Natsu presumably couldn't have faced before. This isn't, you know, Seraph.
We got no sense of scope because it's only just been summoned.
Yeah, and we don't know...
We haven't seen it do anything except, you know, crush some nameless, faceless, unimportant henchman.
Yeah, and we don't know any of these other battle gods. It's just something you've introduced. So it's not like, yeah, we just have no idea for what that's actually supposed to mean. Is this supposed to be someone on the level of Xerath, or, you know, is this just another thing Fairy Tail beat up?
Yeah, that would also be another thing. If, like, it's like, oh, it's almost like it's got, it could be put on the same level as the ancient dragons or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. I'd be like, oh, absolutely. Now I totally get this.
That was kind of one of the useful things about power levels in Dragon Ball, was that it gave an automatic measurement device.
Yes.
It got out of hand eventually, but having that sense of comparison does more easily allow for these type of moments without having to establish strength by action and such.
It's worth noting, because we're going to get a scene in One Piece this week that kind of shows scale, or we got last week, rather, when Luffy punched Doflamingo, when he punched him out of a building. I was like, holy shit, that's crazy, just because that's not something that happens every week in Fairy Tail, or in One Piece. But in Fairy Tail, it's just like, yeah, he blew up that demon, but he blows up shit all the time.
Right.
He's Natsu, he punches things, and they explode a lot. But anyway, I mean, outside of that, I think it's fine. The four chapters, it really felt like we could have summed that up pretty quickly in two, but I guess there were small individual fights in there.
Okay, Food Wars, Shokugeki no Soma, 117 Commanding Presence. So, Soma's taken on that guy who challenged him last time. He suits up in his regular gear, and he notes, like, ah, oh, it's nice to be back in, you know, my regular clothes, because, yeah, he's been wearing the kind of service, you know, working chef type of outfit during stagiaire month or whatever it was. Then we cut away from that to have basically a bunch of the Polar Star dorm members coming back in. They're like, oh, yeah, we made it. And, you know, some of them are looking fine. The two guys that we were kind of just reminded of in the last chapter, Aoki and Sato, are both exhausted, and they fall over. And so Ishiki says, oh, man. Oh, no. Wait. What about... And Iwasaki picks up a pair of glasses, is holding a pair of glasses that belong to Marui, who is this frail kid who has been known to always get exhausted during the really trying challenges. And apparently, he is basically gaunt, and his glasses don't stay on his face anymore because he's lost that much weight, basically. That is who he is. Also, oh, he's doing the old man thing. He's got, like, a walking stick and stuff. Oh, and people are like, oh, hey, Iwasaki, you know, bangs kid. How are you? Oh, it was nothing. I did what I always do. They're like, oh, really? Yes. Stop looking at me like that. Stop thinking I progressed as a character. Stop it. I'm the same background character who will never have a Shokugeki to participate in. Never. I will never do anything important.
Just so we're all on the same page.
Megumi asks about Soma, and she's like, oh yeah, he's Alpha Avenue Shokugeki, so everyone shows up for it, and Soma has just won. He has defeated Tetsuji, and this is basically like explained as, like, oh, he got all five of the judges to side with him, and Tetsuji is thinking to himself, I was overpowered, and he imagines himself as a sumo wrestler who's been forced all the way out of a ring.
With his butt towards the page, because women deserve fan service too. Women and people attracted to men. I don't know why those had to be two different categories. People attracted to men deserve fan service too. There we go. I got it that time, Nick.
So a whole bunch of the people who are witnessing the Shokugeki are like, oh, some of you can hear, he's gotten really strong. Yeah. But some of them are also kind of looking down at him. The root of his cooking lies in common low-class dishes, which is heresy in the Totsuki Institute. Because, you know, assholes. So Soma goes up to Kabutoyama Tetsuji, and he's like, so, you know, as we promised, teach me all the tricks you know about skewering. And people are kind of surprised by this, but yeah, I'll do that. I will teach you all I know whenever you want. So this is kind of a cool little development. I mean, it's not really too surprising, but it makes a lot of sense. But yeah, Soma's trying to really take in everything and evolve his own style. So he's using the opportunity presented to him through all these different challenges to just learn as much as he can. So, good stuff.
It'd be great if the dude's just like, so this is a kebab, and we're done.
Well, that's it?
Yeah, you can put different shit on a kebab. You can put, like, vegetables or meat. I guess it's pretty much it. But, yeah.
You just gotta, you know, make sure whatever you put on the kebab won't melt off of it. I've tried making cheese kebabs, and they don't work too well.
Yeah.
But, very difficult to get the temperature right where it'll cook without, you know, getting all icky and gooey. And don't get me started on candy kebabs.
Oh, that was a mistake. But,
that was a delicious mistake.
Yeah, that was a delicious mistake to clean up.
I did it with my tongue.
I forgot to turn off the grill first, though, so I don't taste so good anymore. Maybe it explains why I lost the Shokugeki 5 to 0-5.
Cannon! So Soma looks out the gathered crowd, and he's like, hey, so did any of you guys send me challengers? And they're like, yeah, I did. Okay. Well, if anyone else wants a Shokugeki, you know, don't bother sending me challengers. I'll just take you on when the fuck ever. You know, 24 hours, 7 days a week, basically. And so some of them are like, oh, he's so full of himself. And he seems to get right back into doing Shokugekis with people. While his friends are looking on, and they're like, oh, he looks kind of different, actually. He's got more energy, and Megumi says, and he looks like he's having a lot of fun while he's doing it. And we get a flashback to Soma talking with... Oh, fuck, I've forgotten his name. Oh, no. The glasses guy he was working under. Shinomiya. That was it. Okay.
You did it!
So he says, you know, I'm going to go to the rest of my Sagittarius locations, taking as much new knowledge and as many new techniques as I can, and then when I go back to the Institute, I'm going to test myself against as many of the best students there are as possible. He's going to just push his strength and go as far as he possibly can. And Shinomiya basically says, well, you know, if you're looking for sparring partners to help you improve, just look up. You'll find a whole bunch of really good ones right there. That's what the Totsuki Institute is all about. So someone defeats his next two challengers. He delivers the whole, I'll just, you know, don't bother with challenge letters, challenge, basically. And Megumi also looks up and sees that Ishiki is there looking down at them and wearing clothes. And then we cut to basically the council in charge of the school. They're having this meeting. Tezuzaimon says, everyone has arrived, so let's get down to business. The annual Momiji Maple meet and greet is nigh, and the flyer announcing it has been completed. And the flyer has this, like, really ornate maple leaf on it. And he's like, yes, I drew the illustration of the leaf myself, but the rest of it is just fucking cartoons.
Yeah, it's like a fucking dog, like,
and then there's fucking the Pillsbury Doughboy talking with him. Let's make new friends! So he's like, I drew the illustration of the leaf myself. I think it turned out quite well. And everyone's like, yes, the colors are very pleasant. I would have preferred a font with more pop to it. It's like, no one's talking about the cartoon character.
No one's going to comment on the fucking dog.
But yeah, apparently the next big event for following Stagiaire Week is the Momiji Meet and Greet, where students from different class years can meet and mingle. And it's also where the top first-year students will have their first opportunity to meet the entire current Council of Ten. So.
Dun-dun-dun!
Cool stuff coming up, I think.
Yeah.
And also a nice chapter just in general, I found. So.
Yeah, I thought it was a very good chapter. Not a whole lot to it necessarily, but still good.
It punches home, you know, Soma's resolve to move forward, basically.
Mm-hmm.
What are we on now? My hair.
Oh, no.
No, Gakuhotei. Gakuhotei.
The final chapter of Gakuhotei, quote unquote.
We have one more final arc to go through in Jump Square Plus.
Jump Plus, whatever, yeah.
Which I assume we're going to actually get in Jump English.
It doesn't say anything in this about this being the final. Usually when Jump has a final chapter of a series, it'll have like a special ribbon on it saying final chapter. So I'm assuming we will get that as well.
So that'll be kind of cool.
Yeah.
And it'll wrap up a very important plot point that's left off of. Okay, I think I've got a lot of talking to do in this.
Yeah, this is a lot of you, Nick, so...
Alright, here I go. Alright.
You solved the mystery! Is this true, attorney? I forgot what your name is.
Also, there's a sound effect for Clamor.
Clamor! Oh yeah, I'll be your Foley guy this week.
Okay.
Oh, and Annalisa just, I think I added the fire, I screwed up her name again. She just confirmed they will be doing it in Jump, so
oh,
there you
cool.
go.
Excellent, alright. Alright. Yes, the perp has been hiding in an unexpected place. The keys to this case are the metal bat found on the rooftop and the mysterious noise mentioned in the testimony. I have seen numerous perps up to this point, but none so fearsome yet pitiable as this one. Those of you not ready to hear this, cover your ears. But no matter what anyone says, what I'm about to tell you is the truth about this incident.
Shup!
Final chapter, where the ogre dwells. First, about that bat on the rooftop. The one who hid it there, as the prints indicate, was you, Uozumi, correct? I forgot what I did for everyone.
Who's this?
I think that's it. However, to be frank, it doesn't really matter who did it.
Twitch, it doesn't.
Nope. It always felt weird to me that the bat was found so easily in the shadow of the water tower. That's too sloppy for hiding a deadly weapon. It could have been wrapped in something, or, moreover, it could have been dropped in the water tower to make it hard to discover. Random dude.
He's right!
Tanto briefly escapes.
He's in the jury! Kill him!
wait! I've got my holy shit! Oh, Tanto. The end.
Credits.
There's only one answer that fits. Higashide. If a ball had been found next to the bat, would the police have assumed it was the weapon?
No, probably not. You mean...
That's right. Ever since Uozumi's bunch broke someone's window, they stopped playing ball at the park. But boyhood passion for baseball isn't so easily quenched, because Japanese kids love boring sports.
We play cricket and pool, too!
Of course you do.
We play billiards, that's like pool, but without any discernible goal! I bet they did keep on playing on the rooftop early in the morning before teachers arrived.
It's yours, right, Phil?
Clink!
It's just the kid doing
it. Baseball on the roof of the school!
Oh, God.
There's a perimeter of fence and plenty of space!
Oh, no, wait, that's Haku.
Oh, is it? That's right. Sorry. I stomped on your line, Nick.
There's a perimeter fence and plenty of space. Not much worry of breaking windows, either. If they used the athletic field, teachers would find out.
Well, that's true, but still... Oh, how bold!
Its sloppy placement also makes sense if it was done as a toy rather than a weapon.
Droop. Oh, so it's unrelated to the incident? So misleading.
No, wait a second. He said if, and there weren't any balls on the rooftop. I'm still not fully satisfied.
Now, be patient. Try to untie a frayed knot in a rush, and it'll tangle even more. Next, let's puzzle through Iren's testimony. When I was talking with Sarutobi yesterday, I noticed something odd on the overhead passage, which was that there was an uneven number of flower pots along the railing. You'd think they would be a mirror image, no? But there was one less pot on the left side of the overhead passage. I suspect someone inadvertently dropped and broke that one. Ellipses.
Thank God that I picked the one character in that duo who never talks.
Celebrities never talk, come on.
Yeah, sure.
Such as you, Iren, who supposedly have been practicing your choreography there, in that spot, every morning.
Flashback, dunk!
Keep on losing this voice for her.
You have any proof?
I can't read what her sound effect is.
No, but I guess that was the noise Tento heard that morning.
What was that sound?
Clunk!
That was sound of flower pot breaking? Oh yeah, I ran into them together after hearing.
Not a Hershey!
That's why they seemed so flustered. And cute! Also, I was holding a bunny. It was a great day. Oh, right, the murder!
You must have been scared. Personally, I would have just confessed to breaking the thing. But Iren is an angelic student who's never been reprimanded by a teacher. It's natural for her to cry. Plus, considering the incident that came to light right afterwards... Ellipses.
But attorney... The victim was found lying inside the animal shed. So isn't the flower pot unrelated to what happened to Miss Shiratori?
Yes. If it had been related, there would have been dirt on Shiratori's clothes. But there was a certain circumstance that prevented Iren from feeling at ease.
Tuck, tuck.
The flower pot that you thought had fallen had completely disappeared, hadn't it? Expression says I'm right. Without any explanation, you must have been confused.
It's just suspicious, isn't it?
You worried someone might have found out.
But Inagami! I want to tap that shit! I mean, how do you know that?
I get a last wish before I go into prison, right?
Tento's last meal, he wants some strange! Some strange!
Everyone in the class is like, what is he talking
about? That's so gross! You're fucking 12!
Maybe he is the red ogre.
It's pretty much the only justification for her strained testimony. By the way, Tento, if you wanted to clear away a broken flower pot, how would you do it?
Huh?
Well, there'd be spilled dirt too, so maybe with the broom?
That's Higashida. That's Higashida.
On our way to the courtroom, we found him carrying a broom.
You mean?
Exactly. And I'd also seen Uozumi with a broom that morning.
Yo, Inugami!
Clamor, clamor!
He's not a star student who'd be sweeping out of the goodness of his heart. He's a selfish asshole.
He's a jerk face.
I'm right here!
I'm on the stand still.
I believe Uozumi had gotten rid of the broken flower pot. There are flower beds in the courtyard. He probably swept the debris up and buried it there.
Is he psychic or something? But why'd he do such a thing?
Well, he wouldn't have unless he thought he himself had broken it, no? According to Higashide, Uozumi was searching for something in the courtyard. And in baseball, there's only one thing that can go missing. The object that should have been next to the rooftop bat, but wasn't.
The attention of the audience?
I wanted to say the same thing.
Oh.
The ball! Anyone who's ever played ball would get it. Though extra careful due to their previous offense in the park, that morning I suspect the ball Uozumi hit cleared the fence.
Aw, oh, super nice shot there, Uozumi! Clink! Oh.
Shoot, I put too much into it!
And right at that exact same moment, Irin knocked the flower pot off the overhead passage! You can't see down from the rooftop, so there's no telling where the ball went. Thus, if you heard with dead perfect timing the sound of a flower pot breaking, what would you think?
Well, I told you not to hit it so hard! Not my fault! Oh, you go look for it yourself!
That's why Uozumi concealed the flower pot, because he thought he'd broken it himself. And I inadvertently starred Irene in that tutubebe long enough to give him time to do it.
It was inadvertently fine, but Hatakeyama is what stalls.
I was like, that's a lot of letters. No,
Hatakeyama's friend.
Yeah, I was like, I was in character for him. He's just my person who, not hot lady.
Later, Uozumi searched for the ball around the overhead passage, but of course he couldn't find it. Because it wasn't the ball that knocked the flower pot down, it was Irin. What Uozumi's ball had actually hit was something else.
Oh, no way! Does it mean...
Yup. Shiratori's head.
What?
I think we got it wrong.
Yeah, I got them all. That cannot be! The victim was found inside the locked animal shed! You confirmed it yourself, right? There weren't any holes in the mess or roofs, so how could the ball have gotten in there?
The ball didn't hit Shiratori inside the animal shed. It happened outside.
What?
Shiratori was observed arriving at school at 7:45 a.m. that morning, as opposed to 7:45 a.m. that evening.
You are Tento clever.
Go ahead.
No, not good.
Tento at 7:40, so they just missed each other. Shiratori likely witnessed Tento chase after the escaped rabbit. Tento, you hadn't locked the door after you, right?
No, I'd only shut it. I was in a rush.
I bet Shiratori saw that and thought to herself, if that door's not locked quickly... Baku, your girl voice is terrible. Oh, sorry. Geez, not a Hoshi for real. More rabbits are going to get out.
Yes, we shot there, dude!
And in that instant, as ill luck would have it, as her mind clouded over, being the super responsible person she is, I'm sure Shiratori had just one burning thought, that she had to lock the door.
Stagger.
Since the animal shed can only be manually locked from the inside, Shiratori used the last of her strength to enter it and lock the door herself. At which point, she passed out. The person who created the locked room state was the victim herself. You only know the Maybe I should actually read this one first. Okay. You know, the only fingerprints found on the handles and latch were those of creature keepers Tento and Shiratori. We should have just taken that at face value.
But wait! If that's the case, then the ball should have been rolling about in the courtyard, yet no one found!
Yeah, the missing weapon further confounded the solving of this case. But the perp who hid the ball was happy.
Woof, woof!
The dog, not the emotion.
Give me the emotion, too! Woof!
The animal shed and Happy's doghouse are near each other. I suspect the ball rolled into Happy's range after connecting with Shiratori, and he carried it off, which is also likely why he was barking. He was happy. Oh, why kill me? He was happy a ball had come his way. Since he apparently...
I've had a lot of balls come your way!
Since he apparently enjoys playing with balls. Even if he doesn't, dogs still love balls.
That's just the thing they do.
So I had Sarutobi retrieve it for me just now. If my theory's right, if you look around the doghouse, you'll find the ball. The missing weapon, the ball, was inside Happy's doghouse.
Wow.
Matter. But how could this be the truth? The Red Ogre.
Red Ogre, or any other perp, never existed. What tangled things up was nothing more than our own hearts. That's a good shape.
For sure. The reason why we saw the bat as a deadly weapon instead of sports equipment wasn't just because there was no ball.
If I had just fessed up about the flower pot, we might have solved this sooner.
If I hadn't tried to conceal our rooftop baseball game. I didn't tell Inugami about that bat because I was secretly afraid that my bat had been used to hurt Shiratori.
Doubting someone, protecting oneself with lies, hatred, grudges. Such warped minds can at times produce a more fearsome and sad incident than any psycho killer. The true ogre dwells within our hearts. Ogres dwell inside our own hearts. I don't know who's supposed to say that.
Silence! The sound effect, that is.
But it's my fault! Shiratori's injury was due to the ball I hit, right? I've done something that can't be taken back!
You Izumi!
That's not how you sound my name.
It's close enough, shut up! You killed the pretty lady!
She's not dead!
Tento couldn't read the...
I just think she is dead.
Tento couldn't read the start of the case on the board where it says the almost murder of Shiratori. He just gets to the murder part. He's like, oh my god!
That's why he's so desperate to have sex with Iris. That she's the last pretty lady left!
He's like, all the pretty ladies are dying!
There's 6 billion people in the world, Tento. There's bound to be more...
No, there are only two! And one is dead!
No! All of us are!
Clatter, clatter.
Oh, it's Picasso. Yeah. Teacher! You want to...
Sure.
Everybody! She's... She Taurus, you gained consciousness!
Oh, she sounds a lot like frickin' Irene.
Oh, hey, stop! I have it ruled on...
Dump.
Yeah!
Any number of penalties could have been levied against Uozumi and the other boys for playing ball on school grounds, or against Siren for breaking the flower pots. But as an early celebration of Shiratori's recovery, the judge declared all parties not guilty. Though this is something we found out later, having all run out of there, hard on Uozumi's heels, except for a few.
Yes. I do understand, but...
Vacant! The courtroom is empty!
Inugami is coming back to me. Lines.
I see.
Bzz.
Summer break, a certain August day.
Why'd you call me suddenly to such a place? What going on, Inugami?
You're Red Ogre, aren't you?
Boom, boom, boom. The next chapter are going into the final arc is scheduled for the end of May. Don't miss it.
Not gonna lie, I kind of got a little bit of a chill up my spine at that final bit there.
Yeah, I mean, Tento is kind of terrifying. You just focus in on his eyes and shade his face out.
Yeah.
This is kind of weird. I mean, is he just, like, a really fucking good actor or something? Who knows?
Something's got to be up, I guess. There's some sort of warp thing in him.
If this turns into, like, Tento was just, like, playing Inugami for a fool, lured him here by, you know, cutting up the fish then that's going to be really weird.
I think it's more of like a level of... I feel like we're honestly getting like the end of Stealth Symphony all over again, where it's like the main character, not a main character, but like, you know, sort of like innocent boy lead, actually turns out he's like got this crazy alter ego side to him that's just not restrained.
Does this mean Sarutobi's going to cut off Tento's head?
Oh my god, yes! That'd be so sweet!
Okay.
Really good chapter. I liked it. I like the way the court case ends. Yes, it ends on an enormous coincidence of they just happened to knock off a flower pot that just happened to land on What's-Her-Name's head just at the right time.
There was, like, no fucking way you could have called this, basically.
I mean, to be fair,
the doghouse part.
Yeah, I did nail her locking herself inside, but it's sort of like the same thing with Ace Attorney things, where it's like, yes, this was the perfect crime because 1,000 coincidences happened at once to make it happen.
You could never logically, like, come up with this, basically.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if
the information you have presented to you.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm wondering if even if we got the information about the flower pots, that one of them was off and the other one wasn't.
I don't know. It's been too long since they would have investigated that scene.
Yeah.
Very cool joke. Okay.
My Hero Academia.
Yeah. Number 41. Fight on, Ida. I think we completely forgot that Deku was not fighting in the semifinals, but the quarterfinals.
No, I was aware of that. That's why I thought it was interesting he met him this early on.
Okay. So, Deku, of course, is being healed by healer girl, whatever. And she says, "All right, you're fine for now, but your hand, you know, I'm just, you know, let it serve as a reminder for now. I refuse to heal this sort of injury from now on," which is a little cruel, but also like you've got to stop killing yourself. Yeah. Stop it.
It's done from a place of love, Nick.
Yeah.
Recovery girl cares about her patients.
She says, "Enough with the self-destruction, you'd better find another way for the boy to manage." So, kind of giving nice talking to both Deku and All Might. So Deku, he starts to kind of go back down the hallway. He wants to, I assume, witness the other fights. And he asks All Might, "So you became a teacher here so you could find a successor. But, you know, all these other students who already have powers, you know, why didn't you just give it to them?" And All Might says, "Yeah, you know, one for all, it can work with someone with a pre-existing quirk, so if Todoroki were to have it, he would be, you know, an incredible superhero with, you know, fire and ice powers and super strength." But he says, "But, you know, I too was born quirkless, and being quirkless back in my day was also rare, though not as rare as now. My master, that is my predecessor, possessed a quirk, but he still believed in me and took me under his wing." So Dick is like, "Well, why didn't you tell me this?" "Well, you never asked." Okay.
Touché.
He says, "You actually reminded me of myself, but you have already exceeded my expectations more times than I can count. In my heart of hearts, I believe there's something special in you and you alone."
Aww. Aww.
Fighting! So Kirishima and Bakugo are fighting. It looks like they're just going basically head-to-head. Bakugo is using his fire powers to supplement his blows, while Kirishima is just basically trying to punch the fuck out of him. It looks like Bakugo is managing to dodge Kirishima's attacks, and he eventually puts him down after, like, a long struggle. And he says that he was deliberately trying to make the fight last long so that his body would start to break down and he would not become vulnerable to his attacks. And so eventually they finish the fight, and so that sells the last matchup in the semifinals, because Ida has already secured his spot in the semifinals, and he kind of recaps the other two fights that took place after Deku's fight with Todoroki, and he says, yeah, you know, you helped me to see some stuff, so that's nice. And Deku also brings up Ida's brother, Fuck that name. Okay. And he says, so has he been watching you? And he's like, well, he's been busy at work, but, you know, even after coming this far, I still can't say I'm number one yet, so I'm kind of glad that he's not letting me get full of myself, I guess. Then they're like, okay, so we've got the final four all laid out, and I keep on forgetting Crow's name. Crow guy's name.
I was about to be like, Nick, it's Todoroki. How do you not? And I was like, oops, wait.
Other Todoroki. So Ida steps into the match against Todoroki, and Ida races straight towards him, tries to keep him on the defensive, and he puts him on the ground very quickly with a kick from above, and he's like, okay, you know, I gotta finish this before my engine stall. He puts Todoroki on the ground, grabs him by the scruff of his neck, and tries to toss him out. But he stops dead in his tracks, looks down, sees that his exhaust pipes and his boots have been clogged up with ice. He's like, what the fuck? When did you do that? And he's like, when you kicked me. And he grabs onto his arm and just freezes him immediately. And Todoroki says, you know, with all the wide range attacks that I've been throwing out, you must not have realized that I'm capable of more delicate moves. And he just encases him in ice and wins immediately. Although he does note, I thought I was ready for, you know, your reverse, but I couldn't dodge it, so good job. But Todoroki won another match without using his fire powers, so there you go. And he is upset with himself, so I feel a little bad for him.
Also, I like the face that we see on Endeavor when he realizes that his son won without using his fire powers. Like, he's just like, why didn't he use his fire powers? And there's, like, one dude nervously sitting next to him. Like,
this guy is on fire.
Like, shifted to the right. He's like, I don't want to get caught on fire. God damn it.
Why does my hair have to be so everywhere? Well then, in a surprising twist, there is a psycho killer on the loose and has just carved the fuck out of some policeman who was requesting backup, and he's stalking around, muttering to himself, licking blood off his knife and going, you're not heroes. Only he is. The only one with permission to kill me is All Might. And that's where the chapter ends, with a hero killer on the loose.
That's Cray Cray.
Maybe that's his name, Cray Cray.
Oh, that'd be so awesome.
No, not Cray Cray.
I am the monster Cray Cray.
So, nice quick little chapter.
Yep, good one. Dug it.
Let's move on to Naruto side series. Number 700 plus 2, the Sharingan Boy. So, Sasuke is off being a deadbeat dad in the woods. He gets attacked by some guy in a cloak who swings chains and scythes and shit at him, which he counters and throws the guy around. Knocks off his outer cloak, which reveals he's wearing a jacket with the Uchiha symbol on the back, and Sasuke's like, what the fuck? He looks at him, he's got Sharingan, he's like, what the fuck? Who are you? And then he vanishes.
What a jerk.
Sarada looks at the picture that she found at the end of the last chapter, and Shizune comes in and talks to her, and that's what you got from the wreck and stuff. And Sarada starts asking her questions, and she's like, what is my dad up to? What is he like? You know, and she's like, yeah, I guess you don't have any memories of him, do you? And it's like, God, she has never met her dad, as far as you can tell. Jeez. Sarada, off-panel, basically brings up, is this my real mother? All that stuff she's been suspecting. And she says, no, that's ridiculous. And Sarada says, but, well, fine. What was my birth like? Who delivered me? Who were the witnesses? And she says,
I just like here, like, the diamond's on! Clank, clank, clank.
You know, Sarab just keeps on pushing. He's like, you're my mom's mentor. You're another medic ninja. And I've been looking through stuff. My birth record isn't at any hospital in Konoha. And she just says, yeah, well, but that doesn't mean it.
Why are you asking this? No one wants to get an answer, which leads me to believe that something very important is going on about this, and we actually received a theory from someone that suggested that Sarada is not anyone's daughter. She's like a clone or something like that, which I don't know about that, but would explain potentially why the hell, you know, nobody's willing to talk to her about it. Because that would be far more traumatic than we lied about who your mother was.
Yeah, it turns out your mom.
You're a fucking clone. You were growing a beaker is way more traumatizing for a 12-year-old than that.
Like, your mom was kind of a bitch, but you were actually scraped off of one of Orochimaru's fucking, like, moles. That's so amazing. Anyway, look, you wear glasses. That's, like, the thing.
And that's basically what it ends on. She says, look, this woman here, she's wearing the same glasses that I am. So that's what I'm suspecting this. And we don't see the end of that conversation. So she's apparently just like,
get the fuck out of my house. She's like, you came to my house.
So we cut to Chocho, and she is bitching at her parents and being just stupid, basically. And I don't like this character. She's dumb.
She's annoying, but there's a couple times I found her amusing.
Well, she kind of pulls Sarada aside after she shows up, and she's like, hey, something's troubling me lately. Don't tell anyone when I tell you this. I don't think that they're my real parents, because I don't look anything like them. When she's a perfect fucking combination of their traits.
To be fair, Nick, I know that neither of us were ever teenage girls, but I have known teenage girls before who in the past have gone, you know, especially like preteens, like they're in that emotional point where they're just like, my parents don't understand me, they're probably not even my real parents. Like, even no matter how obvious it is that they are, there are some people that just get to that phase where they're just like, eh, I don't want to admit that these people who embarrass me are my parents.
What is this thing? There's actually some sort of well-known thing that goes on in Japan, which is apparently around a certain age, some teens or preteens somewhere in there just start to think that they're special. That, like, I am, you know, a chosen one, or
I was like, oh, like when I was like 10 and I thought I had fucking mutant powers because I could hear when the TV turned on.
Yeah, well, like that, but like exaggerated. And it's actually a character archetype that shows up occasionally in like school life series. Someone who's like, I have psychic powers, but I can't tell anyone. It's a secret that only I know. So, so maybe this is kind of a playoff of that.
Yeah, it could be.
So they kind of go off to their own table in this restaurant. They start to talk. Mitsuki, I guess, I think names it as... Is that it? I'm going to Google this real quick. Hang on a second. Tragic hero syndrome? Tragic hero syndrome. Chronic hero syndrome? No. No, that's a TV Trips thing, huh? Nah. Okay. Whatever. So, this guy, the kid who we saw talking with Bolt in the last chapter, comes in. And he's like, oh, yeah, I think that's a condition that unconsciously occurs in girls of a certain age when it took you to define who they are. Well, not that it really matters to me. And so Sarada's like, you recently moved here from another village. My name is Mitsuki, and you're Miss Uchiha, right? Thank you for establishing all of that. By the way, I think this guy's related to Zetsu.
Really?
The black and white cloak on the two sides.
Do you think Zetsu had a penis to impregnate people with?
I think he's somehow related to him. Well, it's established that there's, like, other experiments, kind of Orochimaru-esque, going on, so maybe this is related to that.
Huh. Fair enough.
So, Chocho is...
Chunibyo?
What?
Hold on, I'm trying to, like, copy it. Apparently that's the name of the condition.
Chuni is correct. That's it, yeah.
Chunibyo?
Thank you for finding that, listeners. Thank you. Chuni.
A Japanese slang term which roughly translates into middle school second year syndrome
People either act like a know-it-all adult and look down on others, or believe they have special powers unlike others.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was looking for. Thank you.
There you go. Good pull, Chat.
So, let's see. Sarada has, I guess just to talk about clans and identity makes Sarada to go, who am I? What am I here for and stuff? I guess. And then, fuck, I lost my place. Cover for me, Chris. Where am I?
Where'd the page go? I was gonna say, like, she's just like, what about me? Who am I? And then we cut away to mysterious Sharingan boy who is talking to somebody in a cloak that looks like it may be the Akatsuki cloak underneath it.
That definitely looks like an Akatsuki cloak.
Yeah, it's tough to tell, but he's just like, he's strong, but he killed Itachi, can't forgive, must kill.
That's right. He is the disgrace of Proud Uchiha.
He's not a Proud Uchiha.
So, back in Konoha, Chocho is like, I'm gonna go find my real mom and dad. Come with me, Sarada. And Sarada is like, that's what I have to do! Which is like, yes, that's a good idea. I should take Chocho's stupid they're not my real parents thing and apply it to my actual problem, which I have evidence to doubt that they're my real parents.
Yeah, I'm a genius.
I can't believe Chocho gave me this idea. God damn it. But she says, yeah, I'm gonna go track down my dad and ask him what the fuck is going on, and if I can't find him, I'll figure out where the glasses woman is and ask her what's going on. And yeah, which, you know, she has just as good a chance of tracking either of them down, so not a very strong backup option. Although she does plan on actually trying to locate them by checking through Shizune or through Naruto. It's a really weird conversation where Naruto is like, hey, Shikamaru, how many headbands do we need to order for the graduates to get? Or are they fucking, like, custom made in some warehouse outside of the place? Shouldn't you be doing that yourself? Like, you're a village. I know it's, like, all modern age crap and stuff, but it's weird that it's, like, we have to custom order the headbands. Like, replica title belts or something.
Yeah, I was just like, you don't just have those? Like, it's not like the headband chain. It's not like it's, like, Konoha Ninja Class of 2014. Like, it's all the same fucking headband.
You should be mass-producing those things if everyone in your army wears one.
And not only that, like, look, I understand. Some people wear weird ones. Like, some people, it's like, no, mine's a belt. Or some people, are like, mine's a fucking do-rag. Or whatever bullshit fucking some of them were wearing. But still, just, like, just make the plates and you can attach the plates to whatever. Like, the plate doesn't change.
Yeah. So then they look over and it's like, oh, a bird! It's Sasuke's
heart. Kill it! Smash! Like, he just shuts the window on it! I hate birds! Crunch!
Can't trust him.
Oops. So, Sasuke wasn't expecting it back, I'm sure.
Oh well, it's dead, but it's still got the message on its leg. Oh well. I like how Naruto's like, he's still so analog. Why didn't he just fucking text me? God.
Fucking dickhead. Good.
Although, like, Shikamaru actually says, well, sometimes he gets taken to undeveloped areas where he can't recharge. So presumably he does have a cell phone that he
I like to think that they text so frequently that his cell phone's always running out of power, and that's what happens. Like, he's just like, Naruto's just like, whoop, whoop, and he looks over, and it's just like, he sent me another emoticon. He found another emoji set that's based off of Family Guy. So he sent me...
he found another quote-unquote amusing BuzzFeed article.
Oh, yes, Sasuke. 12 reasons you know you're totally emo. I'll totally read this. Click.
25 reasons being the last member of my clan is actually kind of cool.
You know, eight reasons why having weird eyeballs is a good thing. All right, I'm right on that.
Number 36. Girl's totally into that, man.
Five greatest reasons to have a hawk as a pet. Don't think you'll need that one anymore.
Hashtag selfie.
He selfies with the dead hawk and sends that to him. He's like, you'll get that in a week.
For, first comment is from Tosa.
Oh, God.
The talk of social media reminded me of Tosa.
Oh, all right. Whew, let's go.
All right. So Naruto calls up Kakashi, and Kakashi's like, oh, I'm supposed to be on vacation. Leave me alone. And so he's like, oh, kid with the Sharingan, huh? Oh, that doesn't sound weird, but he's either an Uchiha survivor or Orochimaru's lab rat. Yeah, Yamato's watching him. So his location we know. Okay, yeah, you got paper? Yeah, okay. So, seemingly Esarada is entering the place, or about to enter his office. She overhears Naruto talking about this and just, yeah, okay, I'll get the particulars from Sasuke. So she's like, my dad! So Naruto is going to go meet up with Sasuke, and then is going to visit Orochimaru, who they still haven't killed. And so basically Sarada's plan becomes, I'll trail after him, and he'll lead me right to my dad. Okay, so this worked out nicely.
And you know, it's actually kind of interesting. We didn't find out what happened to Orochimaru before, at the end of last time. But presumably, we'll definitely be finding out what happened to him this time.
Yeah. I think I mentioned, the last time we talked about this, like, I actually appreciate getting this kind of after-the-end stuff, because there were unanswered questions, but, you know, we get those now without interrupting the flow of the original story. So, there you go. Mm-hmm. Get to have cool stuff like this, when we say, is that really Sarada's mom? And also, you know, there's that, I forget what the name of it was, the movie that came out last year. It's like, how did Hinata and Naruto actually end up together? Because he was totally ignoring her in chapter 699. Oh, there's a story that Kishimoto actually helped make that establishes what happened. Oh.
Well, he tripped over her and he was like, you're hot!
No, there's actually a whole, the entire movie is like actually about it.
So, oh, that's sweet.
I think we should review it sometime when it like comes out or something. Oh, it's like out. It was like out in theaters, but like, there's no way to actually like watch it for a while.
Basically. Is it getting dubbed or going to be dubbed?
It's coming out on DVD, so presumably it will be subbed when that happens. Have some sort of unofficial release.
Okay,
we'll figure it out. You know, and I'm not saying we're definitely going to do it, but maybe just putting it out there. Anyway, so Sarada starts trailing after Naruto. I like how the first objection that Shizune raised when he was planning to go out was, but it's graduation exam time! Whatever. Someone else can handle it, Shizune.
He's like, someone else could pass out the fucking headbands.
And Naruto specifically says, I'll leave a doppelganger behind to take care of stuff here, you know, whatever.
But it's graduation time! He's like, fucking a goddamn Uchiha is out there in the world and you're worried about me not being there to make a stupid speech? Fucking your priorities suck. They've always sucked. Now clean up that dead bird and get out of my office. Hold on, one more smoothie.
What's that over there?
Whoosh. He doesn't like sneak out. He just jumps out the wind, like the closed window, like clearly like shatters out and just runs out. Like that wasn't really ninja of you.
I do like the whole thing that Sarada brings up as she's trailing after Naruto. It's like, yeah, don't give a shit about being a ninja. I want to find out who the fuck I am, where I came from, all that stuff. It's more important. So, yeah. Chocho ninjas behind her and is like, oh, wow, you're ready to go on our journey to find my real parents, aren't you, Sarada? I bet my real dad's really handsome. Mind if I stop every hunk we pass by?
How can you not find that funny? I was, like, chuckling pretty loud at that one. I was like, that's a good line.
That's the only good line she has in this entire chapter.
I'm actually kind of glad we get her. I feel like she's, like, kind of a cool character.
Add a bit of levity to Sarada's Who Am I?
It's also just a kind of a unique character we don't normally see getting any kind of focus in this. Plus, it's Choji's kid. Who would have thought Choji's kid would have fucking done anything?
Yeah, you would think that, like, it would be
Shikamaru's kid or
Bolt.
Or Bolt. I'm sure Bolt will show up.
I still won't be surprised if Bolt comes along because he wants to trail after his dad and spend time with him.
Yeah, but like Sai's kid or something like be like, oh, it's like Team 7 all together again. Like, yeah, sure.
Let's do
One Piece!
One Piece, yes.
785 on Broken Legs.
Oh god, this is such a cool chapter. And now the shooting jump's not looking for me. Hit refresh! So, last time, there was a fight going on.
Luffy revealed Gear 4 and he punched Doflamingo in the face!
And he's all weird and muscly and covered in armament hockey, which makes his rubber also armored. He can basically control the hardiness of himself. And I'm basically just buying time now because fucking Shonen Jump won't load.
Oh, the directed EMP is striking you this time, baby?
We'll see. Hang on. Go ahead and start going through it. I'll see if I can pick up.
All right, so Doflamingo, we basically pick up last time where Luffy's punched Doflamingo when everybody's like, what the fuck? You know, Doflamingo's being overpowered by a rubber ball. Who is that guy? Well, whoever you are, keep going. Everyone's like rooting for him. And then, you know, Cavendish is just like, what the transformation? I don't know why he's French, but...
he's absorbed.
He's like, oh, did you see that? It's a really straw hat. He is unbelievable. And Law's like, ah, oh, so he had a secret up his sleeve all along. But he is using too much haki. Head Hydra.
Kojima, you're not supposed to be
here. I would be my eyeballs. They actually cut over to...
I can't only do this voice once a month. Are you crazy?
Yeah, this is ridiculous. We cut over away to Burris, Jesus Burris, who's actually, I'd completely forgotten he was involved in this arc, and he's over there kind of like laughing at things, like, oh, they found a new place to play, huh?
Yeah, he seems to have been very quiet since the actual fighting broke out.
Yeah, and Koala's watching after him, so she's, I guess, tailing him to figure out if he's going to play a factor in things. We then see...
He's trying to figure stuff out about Blackbeard Pirates.
Possibly. It'd be kind of cool if the Blackbeard Pirates showed up at the end of this in some fashion, or he just does something to act on the Blackbeard's behalf.
I'm stealing Doflamingo's powers too, bye!
Yeah, you didn't you? That actually might be a thing. Especially after what we find this week. All the buildings are still getting pulled into the center. Zoro runs by Franky and lets him know that we're going to stop the strings, and it's going to buy us some time. And you know, cuts back to Doflamingo, sort of laying on the ground. He's, you know, commenting on the fact that Gear 4 is allowing him to control his rubber elasticity, even in an armament hockey state. It's a melding of armament and rubber. Luffy notes that if he doesn't hurry, his Gear 4 will run out of time. And Doflamingo even notes, he's like, yes, it seems you know how to use your abilities, but at considerable cost. How many seconds can you last? You have risks you have to balance. Luffy tries to attack, and all of a sudden, strings shoot out of the ground and block his attack. And Doflamingo explains, listen closely, boy. There's another stage entirely to the powers of a devil fruit. Awakening! And then all of a sudden, the buildings start turning into strings, and he explains that it's a very rare ability, but some devil fruit powers can awaken and affect objects aside from the wielder. So the entire town is turning to more strings for him to control, and you know, Luffy even comments, is like, it doesn't even seem like he's a paramecia anymore. And as someone who's running a One Piece role-playing forum, this power is going to potentially cause headaches from people who are like, well, I could be an awakened Delafruit too! It's like, oh, ugh. God. I'm like, no, not until you get to the very late second half of the Grand Line, you can't.
That is the most annoying thing about those types of RPs, is controlling people.
Thankfully, we actually haven't had people like that. We've actually had...
If you have good players, it's no problem. If you have a bad player, though, you gotta... Well, I would get rid of them, basically.
you have to murder them.
You give them a couple of chances, then you're just like, no, please.
Yeah,
you don't fit in here. Like, yeah. Anyway,
but
go ahead.
It is kind of interesting. There are essentially some paramecias that can almost seem to act like Logias now. They can't turn into whatever it is, but they can basically create that element. You know, you can create strings from his environment. Pretty crazy.
Which makes, you know, leads me to wonder, like, oh, so, you know, what is it going to be like if, you know, they encounter, like, you know, for example, Logia that are awakened and stuff.
We have seen awakened Zoans, actually. Those were the guards back in Impel Down. Yeah. All those, there was, like, a rhinoceros and I'm trying to remember the other ones. There were three other guards. There were four guards there, like a minotaur, I think, was one. And all of them were noted as being awakened Zoans. Which seems to be some kind of weird state between, like, kind of like a hybrid form, but even stronger. And I'm guessing maybe that's what Chopper's kind of crazy monster form is a version of in some fashion. I don't know. But it is kind of interesting. We now know at least Paramecias can awaken as well. I'd be curious to see what the Loki awakens. But apparently it's been 20 minutes since the birdcage came down.
I love this bit.
There's characters right here. A great bit. But the birdcage is now kind of closing in. And just to clear it up, I think what this is saying is it's been 20 minutes since the birdcage came around, not 20 minutes since that last scene. So Luffy isn't just like bullshitting, like, this form's so hard to control. 20 minutes later, I'm still whooping your ass, bitch!
It cuts to Doflamingo. It's like, oh god, when are you going to try to
go to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep. We see an old woman and she falls to the ground. Her granddaughter comes up and says, Grandma, you have to get up. The strings will get you. And the grandma's like, I can't run anymore, dearie. You go on ahead. Leave me behind. No, I can't do that. I won't make it either way. There's no way for me to run all the way to the center of town. Then we see a guy outside a hospital. He's screaming out for help. He's like, there are still patients in the hospital. Someone needs to help us. So we kind of just cut around all these different locations in town. And we, you know, like a woman screaming, asking if someone's going to find her son. And we see a guy with a crutch who just lays down and says, we're all going to die anyway. It's time to just give it in. And all these little bits of people who are just panicking, falling, giving up life altogether. And then all of a sudden, Riku picks up a Denden Mushi and screams out, listen to me, everyone! I am the former king of Dressrosa, Riku Dildo the Third! I mean, Dildo the Third! Damn it! I ruined that moment!
I ruined my last name every speech I give!
It's a thing, I think! I will explain what is happening to our land due to a game that the present King Doflamingo enacted. The nation is surrounded by a giant, inescapable birdcage. The vicious power of this cage is slicing through the town as it shrinks further and further. No doubt the suddenness of this situation has left you unable to process anything except for the mad rush to protect your own lives. But I assure you this is not a dream, and it is not a tragedy that began today. For the past 10 years we've been ruled over by a pirate, trapped in the midst of the birdcage called Dressrosa. And he like quietly like told himself, like, oh, that was fucking spot on. I nailed that. Fucking compared it to a birdcage, it's always been around us. You fucking sweet King Dildo.
Well, he also says that they've been puppets on his
string. For 10 years we've been puppets on our string. This is our reality, but very soon it will be over. The seemingly invincible Don Quixote family has been defeated and nearly vanquished. The only one left is Don Quixote Doflamingo himself, and battling him is Straw Hat Luffy, and he'll destroy the birdcage. But whether he wins or loses, it'll only be a matter of minutes, so I beg you, do what you have to survive. Ensure not a single person is crushed by this shrinking country. Just keep running on empty lungs, on broken legs. Find a way to survive. There is still hope, so do not give up. And then immediately we see the grandma, and she hops up to her feet, and she's like, time to run, little missy! And just bolts.
Fucking 100 meter dashes in. She goes.
She's fucking Usain Bolt. She's like, let's do this shit!
Like, that is so great. That speech is so great. It just immediately inspires everyone. Just don't give up. Just hang on a little longer. And everyone responds to him because he's King Riku.
Yeah, and you can see people in town are carrying injured people and they're trying to help each other out. And it's such an awesome moment. It really does, like, just fucking create such an awesome scene. A great speech. I love seeing the little flashbacks all over the area to see people who are giving up, and then, you know, one speech and everyone's like, I'll hold on as long as I can. At which point we now see Doflamingo saying, it's time for you to die! And he, you know, summons all these big string kind of waves to attack Luffy, and he dodges around them and says, I have no time left, so I've gotta finish this! Gum, gum! And he pounds his hands forward and he uses Leo Bazooka and hits Doflamingo straight in the chest, sends him flying into Flower Hill, and that is where our chapter ends.
I like the bit where he breaks through the shield of strings beforehand by just launching his head forward at them first.
Yeah, fuck it. It's so cool. I don't know why, it's so cool seeing him like compact into himself and it's just like bronk,
bronk, bronk.
Very cool though, especially with the I don't think this will be the end of the fight. It could be. I don't know if it will be, but if it is, I like it finishing with the bazooka move. Bazooka's probably my favorite Luffy attack, so very cool. I'll be very curious to see what would happen if Luffy awakened.
Yeah, would he, like, turn stuff around him into rubber?
Yeah, that'd be kind of interesting. Maybe that's what Gear 5 will be.
So we have a new Shonen Jump series that we've got to go through. It is called Straighten Up. And actually, hang on just a second. This one? This tab? No, it's not that one. Is it? Come on. Come on. Stupid tab. Load. The full title of the series in Japanese is Seisuki wo Pinto Chikako Kyogi Dansbu e Yokoso.
Wow.
So thank you for just saying straighten up. Thank you.
Thank God they gave it a title.
Yeah, thanks for the giving the Food Wars Shokugekinosoma treatment to a way more. And it's actually just that full title that says they're straighten up, welcome to Shikahai's competitive dance club. But way easier to say.
You could just say straighten up.
Yeah. So basically, this is about a bunch of new students at this school, Shikahai, going around figuring out what club they're going to join, which is a very Japanese thing. And our main character, whose name I forget, oh, there he is, Masaharu Tsuchiya, and he is immediately, his attention is immediately grabbed by this very lovely older student walking by in this ornate dress, and she's got her dance partner along with her, and they are basically part of the competitive dance club. And so they're drawing everyone's attention. And the girl is very attractive, so all the guys are like, everyone's rushing around trying to get through stuff. And he stumbles into a short girl with very plain black hair. And so they kind of apologize for bumping into each other. And they basically just say goodbye before they get dragged off by their friends in different directions. And Masaharu narrates to himself, yeah, see, this is my problem. I'm not really good with girls. It all started back when I was in elementary school, when the girl I had a crush on laughed at me.
The girl I liked mildly insulted my things in a friendly and kind of helpful manner.
Basically, like, they were having one of those, okay, kids, find a dance partner and hold hands and dance, and all the guys and girls were like, we're holding hands and it's kind of weird as we're dancing. And so the girl's like, oh, that's surprising. Your hands are so sweaty. You're so nervous. He was like, I'm never holding hands with the girl again.
It's so weird, Nick. Like, I don't know if you ever had an experience like having the crush, like the girl you had a crush on in school ever address you in any way. I actually did have the girl I had a crush on address me. This is sort of a sad story, but I was, oh God, I had to be like, maybe fifth grade at the time, and there was a girl I had a crush on, and I was not well liked, Nick. I was very Willy Loman when I was a child. I was liked, but I was not well liked.
You are Willy Loman, I am Biff Loman.
I was not well liked, and I was usually used very cruelly as the butt of jokes, and one guy happened to say, hey, I'm not gonna use her real name. She's, Sarah McChesterson. We're going to go with that. Yeah, Sarah McChesterson, Chris likes you. Or no, you like Chris. And she was like, no, I don't. And she turned to me and she's like, no, I mean, I like you as a friend, but...
Aww.
And it was just like, no, I get it. It's, you know, like, I played it off like, what do I care? And then secretly inside, I was just like crossing a name off my, like, list of dreams.
I'm actually happy to say that I never had that kind of interaction with girls. If I had a crush on a girl, I had a crush on a girl. I was often actually friends with girls that I had crushes on. The closest experience I had to that was actually a group of us were like playing this card game, and one of the rules of the card game is you can't tell new people the rules; they just have to figure it out themselves. So we were penalizing this one girl who didn't know the rules, and I was doing it, you know, very, you know, briskly. I was like, okay, yeah, take care for that, and she's like, no, you're ugly. I was like, wow!
You start crying. You're like, bitch!
No, I was like, what? Wow!
Where'd that come from?
And she's just like, oh, well, no, not really. And I'm just like, looking around, like, she just called me ugly out of the blue.
That means she secretly liked you, Nick.
It's entirely possible. I am an amazing looking dude.
You know what?
My ego has improved by leaps and bounds since high school, as you can tell.
You're like, in high school, I was a loser.
I
was. Out of high school, fucking the best thing in the world.
A quick lesson for those of you out there. Self-confidence is attractive to a shit ton of people. Be confident in yourself, and the only thing that people can think about you is you're an asshole. And then your self-confidence defeats that, too. So there you go. So I mean, don't be an asshole either, obviously. But you know.
You're saying my strategy of walking up to women and starting to cry is probably what's making things not work out for
me?
You
have to do it confidently, Chris.
Yeah, I walk up and I'm just like, I watched Toy Story 3 today. Just like cross my arms, like expectingly, like I'm waiting for her to just fall all over me. Like I'm just like, I close my eyes so when her panties hit my face, they don't like get in my eyes.
And she's like, that movie's dumb. Cars 2 is way better.
And I break her neck.
Anyway, this has been a very long tangent. Bazhar is not good with girls. They are attending all of these performances by the various clubs who are demonstrating stuff so that they can convince students to join up with their clubs. Meanwhile, Mazhar goes to the bathroom. And so he goes to the bathroom and he's like, this isn't something I should be dragging with me to high school, but, oh, I messed up with a girl already. I shoved her with all my strength. How could I have done that? I'm such an idiot. Oh, and here I thought I could interact with girls. Oh, I'm going to be a loser forever. Oh. Then the male dancer gets into the bathroom. He takes the stall next to Masaharu's. Oh, no, wait. He's at the sink. Okay.
Yeah, that's
way less creepy. That is so much better. I thought that he was accusing Masaharu of looking at his dick. Because, like, he's staring at him. He's like, oh, man, that guy who was with the beautiful upperclassman. He's like, where are you staring at? He's like, does he think he's looking at his dick? That's a surprisingly racy joke for this.
For a Shonen Jump, he's like, hey, you like what you see? And we're like, whoa.
No, look.
This series is going in a much different direction all of a sudden.
Well, if he's not fit to be dating girls, then there you go. But he washes his hands and he, like, slicks his hair back and stuff. It's like, oh, so you're a freshman? What? Yeah, I am. Can I just be allowed to use the bathroom in peace? So what club performed just now? Right before I left, they said it was the karate club. Ah, so it's almost time. Thanks. You should hurry back to your seat. He ruffles his hair with his wet hand, or you'll miss out on something fun. And so he heads out of the bathroom. He's talking with someone outside, and eventually he's like, oh, I just realized he dried his hand on my head.
Who... I have to ask this question, Nick. Who goes into the bathroom to just wash their hands?
No, he does it to slick back his hair. Because he's vain. He's vain.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, people don't go into bathrooms just to wash his hands. I'm going to think, I think what happened here is he walked into that bathroom, he saw someone else peeing, and was like, oh, I'll just pretend like I need to wash my hands, but I really can't pee in public restrooms unless I'm alone.
That's something.
I'm adding a lot of layers onto this character that he doesn't need.
Well, we are going to have to get to know him eventually. He seems like he's going to be an important side character. So, anyway, so the Kendo Club has finished putting on their performance as... I've said his name 5 times. I should know it by now. Come on, Nick. You're better than this at memorizing stupid names.
Shimi Bakuro.
That's not it. Masaharu, I think that everyone's got to call him Tsuchiya, though. So Tsuchiya, I guess we'll switch. So he gets back to his seat, and they're like, it's time for a demonstration by the members of the competitive dance club! And everyone's like, what's competitive dance? Gee, could it be dance that is competitive? It's like, you know, figure skating, but without ice.
No, I can't be it. You're stupid.
Is it like ballroom dancing? Probably a little bit. Well, how can you do that in high school? Well, apparently this school has, like, amazing resources, judging by the girl's dress and the guy's tux. Like, that is not something that you can do unless you've got money going into that club, yo. So everyone's like, oh, they're so stylish and their outfit's so amazing, and they start dancing and stuff. Everyone's like, isn't this song from Frozen? And I'm just like, was that something they changed in the translation?
Because I can imagine it's not. Because Frozen is still relatively recent there and apparently absurdly popular.
Well, okay, so I guess Japan maybe just got on late.
I just think it's weird. I guess because it's copyright, they couldn't actually have the words show up. Because there's a point where they're like, here's the crescendo! And I was, like, expecting, like...
Let it go!
Yeah, like, let it go to appear in the text, but I guess they're like, oh, we get sued for that.
Didn't buy the rights. Disney will kill us.
Yeah, you just play the... You play the music while you read it. You know when the part is.
You know this song. Don't pretend you don't.
Don't act like you don't know this. Mr. Toy Story 3 made me cry.
It's addressing you.
Like, they're just like, we know what you were going to say in this podcast that came out a week after this issue.
This series is amazing. It's psychic. So, a bunch of the students are getting super into it. Everyone's like, oh, they're so pretty. And Rio, you're so great looking and stuff. I get to the chorus, and they strip off their, like, outer clothing. So the guy rips off his jacket, and the girl takes off her outer dress to reveal a skimpier dress. And everyone's like, ah!
It was just like, I mean, I guess if you've never watched Dancing, coming from someone who not proudly watched the first two seasons of Dancing with the Stars, I'm not, like, very adverse to, like, yeah, women who dance wear usually pretty revealing outfits.
She already had the cleavage window and backless dress, so having another one with just a shorter skirt is that not that ridiculous, you know? Mm-hmm. But they're getting really into it. The pace is picking up and stuff. And everyone's like, oh my god, ballroom dancing is so incredible. And then the guy jumps into the crowd, and they're like, oh, audience participation, come on, dance club. And he grabs a girl from the crowd, and she's like, I don't know how to dance. And she says, seriously, I can't dance. Proceeds to dance with the guy.
Immediately fucking, like, straddle grinds him. Like, what the fuck?
Even if he is doing all the work, you are being incredibly competent for a girl who did not want to be on stage, quote-unquote. And they're like, what kind of audience member has those kinds of moves? I am glad that nobody in the audience bought it at all. But all the guys are freaking out because she is getting way close to him. And it's, I guess, tango? I don't know. Yeah, I think it's tango, probably. Or salsa. Something very like that. And they're like, oh my god! And Tsuchiya is like, dancing is! Dancing is! I don't know. It's an adjective. Dancing is, you know.
Well, dancing's a verb.
Dancing is.
Yeah.
It's very philosophical.
You kind of have to stop and think about it for a little bit. Like, I'm gonna wake up at time and be like, dancing is.
Dancing is. So, the audience applauds the end of their performance, and Tsuchiya says, I don't get what just happened, but that was amazing. Well, good to know, Tsuchiya. And so the guy says, so here's a word to all of you incoming students. If you join the competitive dance club, you can touch girls as much as you want!
Sign me up, Nick!
And the girl kicks him squarely in the butt. Well, all the guys are like, oh my god, it's great! Oh yes! Yes! So, of course, everyone goes to sign up for the competitive dance club after they've talked about it in class for a bit. And everyone, they're like, Masaharu's friends are like, talking with him, being like, yeah, we'll have an accidental touching experience. It's not really accidental then, but whatever. Dreams of young men everywhere want to be accidental lucky perverts. So they go at the sign-up line, long-ass line, and Tsuchiya is like, man, I'm kind of nervous, but I'm also excited at the same time. I wonder what it'll be like to be in a club with such beautiful upperclassmen. Immediately, beset upon by a bizarre-looking dude who grabs Tsuchiya by the shoulders from behind, and he's like, ah, look at all you monkeys lured by the sexiness! Oh, darling, what a surprise! You have amazing sloping shoulders. I'm not making fun of you. Sloping shoulders are perfect for competitive dancing. Your height and muscle are less than ideal, but you'll hit your growth spurt soon, no worries. Aside from that, this slouch, you have got to fix this or else. Good posture is one of the most important things for competitive dancing. He, like, breaks Tsuchiya's spine, ripping his shoulders backward. And he's like, yes, it's a sport that includes both artistic and athletic ability. A man and a woman who support each other hand in hand and compete with other couples. They fight with their skills, beauty, and passion. At times gloriously with modern dance, other times fiercely with Latin dance. Do you understand, boys? We welcome kids who have dirty minds, along with kids who genuinely want to learn how to dance. But be prepared. Dance lessons with me, Masumi Doigaki, president of the competitive dance club, aren't going to be so easy, understand? I will take each of you by the hand and prepare you. Wink. And immediately everyone's like, bye.
There's naked girls on the internet. I'm out of here.
This is a really weird looking character, isn't he?
Well, he has enormous lips that don't seem like they move, but they don't seem to change shape ever.
Like he's perpetually pounding them or something.
Yes.
Also, he has one tooth.
Yeah, there's no line. Well, no, we see his mouth actually open up, so there's at least two. But when they connect together, they meld back into one.
It's weird and freaky. So, presumably, he's going to be a main character. This is going to be an interesting character design to see. He has gone a little bit too far with the, you know, hard pitch. So he's like, I'll be gentle with you at first, and Toshiya's friends have abandoned him completely, but Toshiya's still being held by the guy, so he can't get away. Ryo sticks her head out, and she's dressed far more conservatively, and she's got, like, glasses on, and her hair is down and stuff. And she's like, oh, you chased them all away. Ah, but we still have two people left, and it isn't Tsuchiha, Eri, or Emi, one of the two, whatever. The girl from before that you knocked over has stuck around. Seemingly, she actually wants to be there, so good job. So Doigaki is all, like, happy. He's like, oh, you're so different from those wimps, and when he's a girl, this is great! And Ryo's like, oh, we've got a boy and a girl, so we've got a new couple we can put together right off the bat, too. And Tsuchiya's like, oh, couple! Oh, wait, dancing. It's not like dancing was what originally led to my traumatization in the first place.
Yeah. Oh, God!
But they're like, you know, welcome to the competitive dance club, and Tsuchiya, you know, ends with a final narration. I think this is actually, I mean, I've seen some series that are like this, you know, a slice of life series with a little bit of a twist. I'm not really sure if this is going to stick around for very long, but then again, Soul Catchers has, and it's actually got a kind of similar premise, so there you go. Although it did get moved to Jump Square.
Yeah. I wasn't crazy on this series. I can see why people might enjoy it. Just for me, I love sports series, but the only sports I can't stand are subjective ones, like ones where I feel the scoring isn't like a clearly defined line. So things like dance, like I can see the artistry in it, but as a sports series, and I guess this isn't necessarily a sports series so much, it is kind of more of a slice of life, but it's hard to convey dancing in a non, you know, animated visual, you know.
And like, also, it bothered me that there was no music during that dancing.
Yeah, like, I mean, honestly, the fact that you're, you know, it's supposed to be all these movements happening in time with the song, but there's no actual music playing. Or, like I said, if they had just put the lyrics to Frozen, like, Let It Go, and I could just read them, be like, Let It Go, like, I'm in work.
Then you could at least keep time when stuff was happening and stuff.
Like, I'm on the bus, like, waving my hands, like, Let It Go, Let It Go! Hey, lady, do you want to go out with me? As I'm crying, like,
Let It Go, Let It Go.
She's like, restrain order.
No, none of them will look at me.
Amusingly, me and my brother are in the midst of trying to find the perfect song to do for our answering machine at home. We want to have an answering machine solely for it, and I think we've set it on Love is a Battlefield from fucking Pat Benatar. So it's just going to be like, we're not home, ba 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 ba, so leave a message at the tone, ba da 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 da. And I think it ends with us blowing each other. We're only going to give it to people we don't want to call us, but... But anyway, guys, it was, I can still see how people enjoy it, just didn't necessarily catch on with me.
We are going to have two more weeks, with a new series being introduced following this. The series are called Lady Justice, which looks like...
Actually, it's only one. We're not getting Lady Justice.
Not getting Lady Justice? Is it because it's like a gag series, do you know?
I thought I heard it was that Jump, and this is only what I've heard. I don't, you know, Kaito in the chat room might be able to give us more, but I thought I heard that Jump was a bit wary on writing anything that was too fan servicey after E-Robot.
She does have a cleavage window.
So it might have been that it was too much of a fan service series, and they're just like, F that. But we will be getting Devilman,
I guess.
I think they called it Devilman.
Oh, that makes sense. I guess Devil would be Debiru. So yeah, makes sense. Anyway, almost choked. We got to finish up now with Toriko, as previously mentioned. No World Trigger this week. Toriko, Gourmet 322, Earth Shattering. Let's do this really fast because we've been talking for like 2.5 hours.
Nothing happens this chapter. Turns out the plant's gonna be cooked and eaten. Done and done. All right, Nick. Weekly manga recap. Let's go.
Yay! I think we beat our Nisekoi record that time. That is a very big reveal, though. It explains why the Earth has been growing, though. So there you go. Also, we see
Blue Nitro pretending to be Kaka's real form, it has an afro.
What?
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Also, dog conversation with, like, Midora and stuff. And
oh, yeah, they talked. Yeah, we find out that conversation and went exactly how we all figured. Like, Toriko showed up and was just like, hey, can I have Komatsu? He's like, yeah, sure, dip back there.
There you go. All right. So, yeah. Nothing chapter, I feel.
Yeah. More or less. I mean, again. Yeah, that's it. That's weekly manga recap.
Yeah. What a note to end on.
Yeah, like, it was like, hey, you guys spent 30 minutes talking about that fucking dancing series. Let's see what they do with Toriko.
Actually, I do have something to say about this week's Nisekoi. I won't talk about the chapter as a whole very much. Marika has dragged Raku off to a private island so they can spend time together. Raku is like, what the fuck, you abducted me? And she's like, yep, but I got permission from your dad, so it's cool. Will you rub this suntan lotion on my body? No. Okay, if you can solve this homework problem, I'll do it. Marika got way smarter. And the reason I bring this up is because the translation of the chapter made it very confusing to understand what the math problem was. And it really bothered me. Because what it was basically asking was, there's like this thing where you have to figure out, there's an equation that basically says, this is what, this equation means if you take this calculation and then take the ones digit from it, that's the singles digit. It said in the chapter, like, the first position or some shit, which was like, what the fuck is that? So I was sitting there trying to figure out what the equation was, and it was like, oh, that's what it is. Oh. So yeah, math bothered me on this week's Nisekoi. Boom.
Well, I found it funny because at the end of the chapter, it's essentially like, you must you must make your feelings known because Marika doesn't have much time left. And I forget where I saw it. It may have even been someone coming in order for him. Like, what do you think's going to happen from this? I'm like, nothing, because the status quo was not changed. No, no. If you don't believe me, remember, Chitoge is totally moving back to America, guys.
Chitoge is totally moving in with Raku, guys.
Yeah, like, it was like 2 weeks ago we just found, like, another fucking, like, oh my, you're one of your girls is going to be gone from your life. Like, look, unless she gets hit by a bus.
Raku's totally going to confess to Onodera, guys. Come on. Unless the series actually is going to end, nothing is going to happen. It'll just be constant teases from here on out. This is why I like the stuff that features, like, side characters like Shu and Ruri. It's because they don't have to have these teases because they aren't love interests of Raku. They can have other compelling stuff happen to them 100% of the time. So just give me those, like, all the time now, please.
Yeah. But yeah, it's still rather amusing.
Yeah, that was Jump this week. And also Fairy Tail. Overall, some good stuff, some bad stuff. Mixed bag, I think. I'm excited to see some of the stuff coming up ahead. And we'll talk about, I guess, to our Gagaku no Railgun next week, I think. It's going to have to be early next week, though, as I told you, Chris. Are you fine with that alternate time?
What time?
Next Monday.
Monday. Yeah, that should be fine.
All right. We'll probably start on Monday. We'll probably record on Monday because Nick has stuff going on Wednesday, basically. Thank you.
Oh my god, I don't know what I'm going to do on Wednesday. Like, I'm just going to sit at my desk, like, staring at the screen, like, what do I do?
What do I normally do on Monday? I've forgotten.
I sit here and don't watch wrestling, but occasionally look to see people tweet about it, so I can be like, this is a good decision.
So thank you everyone for joining us for this edition of Weekly Manga Recap. We record the show twitch.tv/RoloT, normally Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Next week will be Monday, as previously established. Make sure to follow us on Twitter. He's at RoloT, I'm at YRolerOfTime, and we'll give you further updates. And also check out our past episodes, weeklymangarecap.podbean.com. Also on iTunes, you can find all of our past episodes. You can send criticism, questions, and suggestions in the comments section. Leave ratings and reviews and crap on iTunes so that we can beat those woodworkers and stuff.
We actually did get another review on iTunes. I want to give a thank you to Dark Patrician, who says, do you enjoy woodworking, people not performing radio plays, and conversations that don't veer into movies, wrestling, what the Hulk is doing in the bathroom? Well, listen to this podcast anyway. So thank you, Dark Patrician, for that 5-star review. Greatly appreciate it.
Great review. Thanks. That sums up everything. Yes.
Yes.
Email suggestions to weeklymangarecap@yahoo.com. Also, special thanks to Steve Mann, our title card artist. You can check out his work at Narok Fanboy at DeviantArt, Narok Fanboy, Tumblr, I Draw Boobs, Patreon, Steve Mann. That's easier to say.
Boom.
Also, YouTube accounts of the guys who make the visual editions of our podcast, that'd be Felix Dark 2, and the infamous Planet, who recently put up the trigger to my...
Hold on, Nick, hold on, whoa! Hold on. It's just infamous Planet on YouTube. He finally got rid of the
Oh, boy.
It was a pretty big day.
That makes all the difference.
In his life, that was probably the grandest accomplishment he's reached. And to be completely honest, probably the biggest one he'll ever reach.
God, that's harsh. Yeah, put up a visual edition of World Trigger to My Heart and Backdoor Part 6.
Which I need to make an announcement on, Nick.
Oh, no.
We are in the midst right now of basically our 4-year anniversary.
Oh.
So, my thought was, the last episode of this month, that would be presumably the 27th, although if you're busy, we could reschedule. And of course, this would require help, because I did make the promise that Annalise would need to come in to read it.
Oh,
but
no.
I will be writing part 3 of World Trigger to My Heart and Backdoor.
So is that a prequel or...
Oh, you'll have to find out. It's going to be all kinds of special. So, just a surprise for everybody to look forward to. Okay.
So, yeah. Okay. I'm not sure if I'm looking forward to it or dreading it.
You have to be looking forward to it, right?
I think that I'll know once it actually happens.
The last one had so many great moments, like when fucking Pesbo from The Wire showed up for a fucking sex orgy.
Okay. That's gonna do it, everyone. Bye.
Bye!